Shakespeare's tragedy, Hamlet, in a new stereophonic production by John Tideman, with Ronald Pickup as Hamlet, Robert Lang as Claudius, Maxine Audley as Gertrude, William Squire as Polonius, and Angela Pleasance as Ophelia. The play will be presented in two parts, with an intermission after approximately an hour and 40 minutes. Hamlet, Prince of Denmark.
Who's there?
Nay, answer me. Stand and unfold yourself.
Not with the king.
Arnado.
He.
You come most carefully upon your hour.
It is now struck 12. Give thee to my Francisco.
For this relief, much thanks. It is bitter cold. And I'm sick at heart.
Have you had quiet, guard?
Not a mouse stirring.
Well, good night. If you do meet Horatio and Marcellus, the rivals of my watch, bid them make haste.
I think I hear them. Stand ho, who's there?
Friends to this crown,
and liegemen to the Dane.
Give you good night.
Well, farewell, honest soldier. Who hath relieved you?
Bernardo hath my face. Give you good night.
Hola, Bernardo.
What? Is Horatio there?
A piece of him.
Welcome, Horatio. Welcome, good Marcellus.
What, has this thing appeared again tonight?
I have seen nothing.
Horatio says it is but our fantasy and will not let belief take hold of him touching this dreaded sight twice seen to us. Therefore, I have entreated him along with us to watch the minutes of this night, that if again this apparition come, he may approve our eyes and speak to it.
Tush, 'twill not appear.
Sit down a while, and let us once again assail your ears that are so fortified against our story what we have two nights seen.
Well, sit we down, and let us hear Bernardo speak of this.
Last night of all, when yon same star that's westward from the pole had made his course to loom that part of heaven where now it burns, Marcellus and myself, the bell then beating one.
Beast, break me off! Look, where it comes again!
In the same figure like the king that's dead.
Thou art a scholar, speak to it, Horatio.
Looks it not like the king? Mark it, Horatio.
Most like. It harrows me with fear and wonder.
It will be spoke to. Question it, Horatio.
What art thou that usurps this time of night, together with that fair and warlike form in which the majesty of buried Denmark did sometimes march? By heaven, I charge thee, speak.
It is offended.
See, it stalks away.
Stay, speak. Speak, I charge thee, speak.
'Tis gone, and will not answer.
How now, Horatio? You tremble and look pale. Is not this something more than fantasy? What think you, aunt?
Before my God, I might not disbelieve without the sensible and true avouch of mine own eyes.
Is it not like the king?
As thou art to thyself.
Thus twice before, and jump at this dead hour with martial stalk, if he gone by our watch.
And what particular thought to work, I know not. But in the gross and scope of my opinion, this bode some strange eruption to our state.
Soft.
Behold, know where it comes again. I'll cross it, though it blast me. Stay, illusion. If thou hast any sound or use of voice, speak to me. If there be any good thing to be done that may to thee do ease and grace, to me, speak to me. If thou art privy to thy country's fate, which happily foreknowing may avoid, oh, speak. Or if thou hast abhorred in thy life extorted treasure in the womb of earth, for which they say you spirits oft walk in death, speak of it. Stay and speak. Stop it, Marcellus.
Shall I strike at it with my partisan?
Do if it will not stand.
Tis here.
Tis gone. We do it wrong, being so majestical to offer it the show of violence, for it is as the air invulnerable, and our vain blows malicious mockery.
I was about to speak when the cock crew.
And then it started like a guilty thing upon a fearful summons. I have heard the cock, that is the trumpet to the morn, doth with his lofty and shrill sounding throat awake the god of day. And at his warning, whether in sea or fire, in earth or air, the extravagant and erring spirit hies to his confine. And of the truth herein, this present object made probation.
It faded on the crowing of the cock. Some say that ever against that season comes wherein our Saviour's birth is celebrated, the bird of dawning singeth all night long. And then, they say, no spirit dare stir abroad. The nights are wholesome. Then no planet strike, no fairy takes, nor witch hath power to charm, so hallowed and so gracious is that time.
So have I heard, and do in part believe it. But look, the morn in russet mantle clad walks o'er the dew of yon high eastward hill. Break we our watch up, and by my advice let us impart what we have seen tonight unto young Hamlet. For upon my life this spirit, dumb to us, will speak to him. Do you consent we shall acquaint him with it as needful in our lives, fitting our duty?
Let's do it, I pray. And I this morning know where we shall find him most convenient.
Though yet of Hamlet our dear brother's death the memory be green, and that it us befitted to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one brow of woe, yet so far hath discretion fought with nature that we with wisest sorrow think on him, together with remembrance of ourselves. Therefore, our sometime sister, now our queen, the imperial jointress to this warlike state, have we, as 'twere, with a defeated joy, with an auspicious and a drooping eye, with mirth in funeral and with dirge in marriage, in equal scale, weighing delight and dole, taken to wife. Nor have we herein barred your better wisdoms, which have freely gone with this affair along. For all, our thanks. Now follows that, you know. Young Fortinbras, holding a weak supposal of our worth, or thinking by our late dear brother's death our state to be disjoint and out of frame, colleagued with this dream of his advantage, he hath not failed to pester us with message, importing the surrender of those lands lost by his father with all bands of law to our most valiant brother. So much for him! Now, for ourselves, and for this time of meeting, this much the business is. We have here writ to Norway, uncle of young Fortinbras, who, impotent and bedrid, scarcely hears of this his nephew's purpose, to suppress his further gain herein, and we here dispatch you, good Cornelius.
My lord.
And you, Voltimand.
My lord.
For bearers of this greeting to old Norway, giving to you no further personal power to business with the king, more than the scope of these delated articles allow. Farewell, and let your haste commend your duty.
In that and all things will we show our duty.
In that
we doubt it nothing. Heartily, farewell. And now, Laertes, what's the news with you? You told us of some suit. What is Laertes? You cannot speak of reason to the Dane and lose your voice. What wouldst thou beg, Laertes, that shall not be my offer, not thy asking? The head is not more native to the heart, the hand more instrumental to the mouth, than is the throne of Denmark to thy father. What wouldst thou have, Laertes?
Dread my lord, your leave and favour to return to France. From whence, though willingly I came to Denmark to show my duty in your coronation, yet now, I must confess, that duty done, my thoughts and wishes bend again toward France, and bow them to your gracious leave and pardon.
Have you your father's leave? What says Polonius?
He hath, my lord, wrung from me my slow leave by laboursome petition, and at last upon his will I sealed my hard consent. I do beseech you, give him leave to go.
Take thy fair hour, Laertes. Time be thine, and thy best graces spend it at thy will.
My lord.
But now, my cousin Hamlet, and my son.
A little more than kin, and less than kind.
How is it that the clouds still hang on you?
Not so, my lord. I am too much in the sun.
Good Hamlet, cast thy nighted colour off, and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark. Do not for ever with thy veiled lids seek for thy noble father in the dust. Thou know'st 'tis common, all that live must die, passing through nature to eternity.
Aye, madam, it is common.
If it be, why seems it so particular with thee?
Seems, madam? Nay, it is, I know not, seems. 'Tis not alone my inky cloak, good mother, nor customary suits of solemn black, nor windy suspiration of forced breath, no, nor the fruitful river in the eye, nor the dejected haviour of the visage, together with all forms, moods, shows of grief that can denote me truly. These indeed seem, for they are actions that a man might play. But I have that within which passeth show. These but the trappings and the suits of woe.
'Tis sweet and commendable in your nature, Hamlet, to give these mourning duties to your father. But you must know your father lost a father, that father lost his, and the survivor bound in filial obligation for some term to do obsequious sorrow. But to persever in obstinate condolement is a course of impious stubbornness. 'Tis unmanly grief. It shows a will most incorrect to heaven, a heart unfortified, or mind impatient, an understanding simple and unschooled. For what we know must be, and is as common as any of the most vulgar thing to sense, why should we, in our peevish opposition, take it to heart? Fie! 'Tis a fault to heaven, a fault against the dead, a fault to nature, to reason most absurd, whose common theme is death of fathers, and who still hath pride from the first course till he that died today. This must be so. We pray you throw to earth this unprevailing woe, and think of us as of a father. For let the world take note, you are the most immediate to our throne, and with no less nobility of love than that which dearest father bears his son do I impart towards you. For your intent in going back to school in Wittenberg, it is most retrograde to our desire. And we beseech you, bend you to remain here in the cheer and comfort of our eye, our chiefest courtier, cousin, and our son.
Let not thy mother lose her prayers, Hamlet. I pray thee stay with us. Go not to Wittenberg.
I shall in all my best obey you, madam.
Why, it is a loving and a fair reply. Be as ourself in Denmark. Madam, come. This gentle and unforced accord of Hamlet sits smiling to my heart, in grace whereof no jocund health that Denmark drinks today, but the great cannon to the clouds shall tell, and the king's rouse, the heavens shall brew it again, re-speaking earthly thunder. Come away!
Oh, that this too sullied flesh would melt, thaw and resolve itself into a dew, or that the everlasting had not fixed his cannon against self-slaughter. Oh, God, how weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world. Fiat. Oh, fie. 'Tis an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possess it merely. That it should come to this, but 2 months dead, nay, not so much, not two, so excellent a king that was to this Hyperion, to a satyr, so loving to my mother, that he might not beteem the winds of heaven visit her face too roughly. Heaven and earth must I remember. Why, she would hang on him as if increase of appetite had grown by what it fed on, and yet within a month. Let me not think on't. Frailty, thy name is woman. A little month, or ere those shoes were old with which she followed my poor father's body, like Niobe, all tears, why she, even she, O God, a beast that wants discourse of reason, would have mourned longer. Married with my uncle, my father's brother, but no more like my father than I to Hercules. Within a month, ere yet the salt of most unrighteous tears had left the flushing in her galled eyes, she married. O most wicked speed, to post with such dexterity to incestuous sheets. It is not, nor it cannot come to good, but break my heart, for I must hold my tongue.
Hail to your lordship. I'm glad to see you well. Horatio, while I do forget myself.
The same, my lord, and your poor servant, Emma.
Sir, my good friend, I'll change that name with you. And what make you from Wittenberg, Horatio? Marcellus.
My good lord.
Oh, I'm glad to see you. Good even, sir.
My lord.
But what in faith make you from Wittenberg?
A truant disposition, good my lord.
I would not hear your enemies say so, nor shall you do my ear that violence to make it trusted of your own report against yourself. I know you are no truant. But what is your affair in Elsinore? We'll teach you to drink deep ere you depart.
My lord, I came to see your father's funeral.
I prithee, do not mock me, fellow student. I think it was to see my mother's wedding.
Indeed, my lord, it followed hard upon.
Thrift, thrift, Horatio. The funeral baked meats did coldly furnish forth the marriage tables.
Would I had met my dearest foe in heaven that I had ever seen that day, Horatio. My father... Methinks I see my father.
Oh, where, my lord?
In my mind's eye, Horatio. I saw him once. He was a goodly king.
He was a man, take him for all in all. I shall not look upon his like again.
My lord, I think I saw him yesternight.
Saw?
Who? My lord, the king, your father.
The king? My father?
Season your admiration for a while with an attent ear. Till I may deliver upon the witness of these gentlemen this marvel to you.
For God's love, let me hear.
Two nights together had these gentlemen, Marcellus and Barnardo, on their watch in the dead waste and middle of the night, been thus encountered. A figure, like your father, armed at point exactly, cap a pie, appears before them, and with solemn march goes slow and stately by them. Thrice he walked by their oppressed and fear-surprised eyes, within his truncheon's length, whilst they, distilled almost to jelly with the act of fear, stand dumb and speak not to him. This to me in dreadful secrecy in part they did, and I within the third night kept the watch, where, as they had delivered, both in time, form of the thing, each word made true and good, the apparition comes. I knew your father. These hands are not more like.
But where was this?
My lord, upon the platform where we watch.
Did you not speak to
it? My lord, I did, but answer made it none. Yet once, methought, it lifted up its head and did address itself to motion like as it would speak. But even then the morning cock crew loud, and at the sound it shrunk in haste away and vanished from our sight.
It is very strange.
As I do live, my honoured lord, 'tis true. And we did think it writ down in our duty to let you know of it.
Indeed, indeed, sirs, but this troubles me. Hold you the watch tonight?
We do, my lord.
Armed, say you?
Armed, my lord.
From top to toe?
My lord, from head to foot.
Then saw you not his face?
Oh, yes, my lord, he wore his beaver up.
What, looked he frowning ye?
A countenance more in sorrow than in anger.
Pale or red?
Nay, very pale.
And fixed his eyes upon you?
Most constantly.
I would I had been there.
It would have much amazed you.
Very like, very like. It stayed it long?
While one with moderate haste might tell 100.
Longer,
longer.
Not when I saw it.
His beard was grizzled, no.
It was as I have seen it in his life, a sable silvered.
I will watch tonight. Perchance 'twill walk again.
I warrant it will.
If it assume my noble father's person... I'll speak to it, though hell itself should gape and bid me hold my peace. I pray you all, if you have hitherto concealed this sight, let it be tenable in your silence still, and whatsoever else shall hap tonight, give it an understanding, but no tongue. I will requite your loves. So fare you well. Upon the platform twixt 11 and 12, I'll visit you.
Our duty to your honour.
Your loves, as mine to you. Farewell.
My father's spirit in arms?
All is not well. I doubt some foul play. Would the night were come? Till then sit still, my soul. Foul deeds will rise, though all the earth o'erwhelm them to men's eyes.
My necessaries are embarked. Farewell. And, sister, as the winds give benefit and convoy is assistant, do not sleep, but let me hear from you.
Do you doubt that?
For Hamlet and the trifling of his favour hold it a fashion and a toy in blood, a violet in the youth of primy nature, forward, not permanent, sweet, not lasting, the perfume and suppliance of a minute, no more.
No more but so.
Think it no more. Perhaps he loves you now, and now no soil nor quartal doth besmirch the virtue of his will. But you must fear His greatness weighed, his will is not his own. For he himself is subject to his birth. He may not, as unvalued persons do, carve for himself. For on his choice depends the safety and the health of this whole state. And therefore must his choice be circumscribed unto the voice and yielding of that body whereof he is the head. Then if he says he loves you, it fits your wisdom so far to believe it, as he in his particular act and place may give his saying deed, which is no further than the main voice of Denmark goes withal. Then, weigh what loss your honour may sustain, if with too credent ear you list his songs, or lose your heart, or your chaste treasure open to his unmastered importunity. Fear it, Ophelia, fear it, my dear sister. And keep you in the rear of your affection, out of the shot and danger of desire.
I shall the effect of this good lesson keep, as watchman to my heart. But, good my brother, do not as some ungracious pastors do show me the steep and thorny way to heaven, whilst like a puffed and reckless libertine himself the primrose path of dalliance treads, and wrecks not his own reed.
Oh, fear me not. I stay too long. But here my father comes. A double blessing is a double grace. Occasion smiles upon a second lee.
Yet here, Laertes, aboard, aboard, for shame. The wind sits in the shoulder of your sail, and you are stayed for. My blessing with thee. And these few precepts in thy memory see thou character. Give thy thoughts no tongue, nor any unproportioned thought is act. Be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar. Those friends thou hast and their adoption tried, grapple them unto thy soul with hoops of steel. But do not dull thy palm with entertainment of each new hatched, unfledged comrade. Beware of entrance to a quarrel, but being in, bet that the opposed may beware of thee. Give every man thy ear, but few thy voice. Take each man's censure, but reserve thy judgment. Costly thy habit as thy purse can buy, but not expressed in fancy. Rich, not gaudy, for the apparel oft proclaims the man, and they in France of the chief rank and station are most select and generous in that. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. This, above all, to thine own self be true. And it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Farewell. My blessing season this in thee.
Most humbly do I take my leave, my lord.
The time invites you. Go. Your servants tend.
Farewell, Ophelia. And remember well what I have said to you.
'Tis in my memory locked, and you yourself shall keep the key of it.
Farewell.
What is it, Ophelia, he has said to you?
So please you, something touching the Lord Hamlet.
Mary, well bethought. 'Tis told me he hath very oft of late given private time to you, and you yourself have of your audience been most free and bounteous. If it be so, as so 'tis put on me, and that in way of caution, I must tell you, you do not understand yourself so clearly as it behoves my daughter and your honour. What is between you? Give me up the truth.
He hath, my lord, of late made many tenders of his affection to me.
Affection? Oh, you speak like a green girl, unsifted in such perilous circumstance. Do you believe his tenders, as you call them?
I do not know, my lord, what I should think.
Mary, I will teach you. Think yourself a baby that you've ta'en these tenders for true pay, which are not sterling. Tender yourself more dearly, or not to crack the wind of the poor phrase running it thus. You'll tender me a fool.
My lord, he hath importuned me with love in honourable fashion.
Aye, his springes to catch woodcocks. I do know, when the blood burns, how prodigal the soul lends the tongue vows. These blazes, daughter, giving more light than heat, extinct in both, even in their promise, as it is a making, you must not take for fire. From this time be something scattered of your maiden presence. For Lord Hamlet, believe so much in him that he is young, and with a larger tether may he walk than may be given you. In few, Ophelia, do not believe his vows, for they are brokers, not of that dye which their investment show, but mere implorators of unholy suits. breathing like sanctified and pious bawds, the better to beguile. And this is for all. I would not, in plain terms, from this time forth, have you to slander any moment leisure as to give words or talk with the Lord Hamlet. Look, Toot, I charge you.
I shall obey, my lord.
Air bites shrewdly. It is very cold.
It is a nipping and an eager air.
What hour now?
I think it lacks of 12.
No, it is struck.
Indeed, I heard it not. It then draws near the season wherein the spirit held his wont to walk. What does this mean, my lord?
The king doth wake tonight and takes his rouse. Heaps wassail and the swaggering upswing reels. And as he drains his draughts of Rhenish down, the kettle drum and trumpet thus bray out the triumph of his pledge.
Is it a custom?
Aye, Marius, but to my mind, though I am native here and to the manor born, it is a custom more honoured in the breach than the observance. This heavy-headed revel east and west makes us traduced and taxed of other nations. They keep us drunkards and with swinish phrase soil our addition. And indeed it takes from our achievements, though performed at height, the pith and marrow of our attribute. So oft it chances in particular men that for some vicious mole of nature in them, as in their birth, wherein they are not guilty, since nature cannot choose his origin, by the o'ergrowth of some complexion oft breaking down the pales and faults of reason, or by some habit that too much o'erleavens the form of plausive manners, that these men, carrying, I say, the stamp of one defect, being nature's livery or fortune's star, his virtues else be they as pure as grace, as infinite as man may undergo, shall in the general censure take corruption from that particular fault. The dram of eel doth all the noble substance of a doubt to his own scandal.
Angels and ministers of grace, defend us. Be thou a spirit of health, or goblin damned, bring with thee airs from heaven or blasts from hell. Be thy intents wicked or charitable, thou comest in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I'll call thee Hamlet, King, Father, Royal Dane. Oh, answer me. Let me not burst in ignorance, but tell why thy canonized bones, hearsed in death, have burst their sediments. Why the sepulchre wherein we saw thee quietly inurned and oped his ponderous and marble jaws to cast thee up again. What may this mean? That thou, dead corse, again in complete steel revisits thus the glimpses of the moon, making night hideous, and we fools of nature so horridly to shake our disposition with thoughts beyond the reaches of our souls. Say, why is this? Wherefore? What should we do?
It beckons you to go away with it, as if it's some impartment and desire to you alone.
Look with what courteous action it waves you to a more removed ground, but do not go with it.
No, by no means.
It will not speak. Then I will follow it.
Do not, my lord. Why? What should be the fear? I do not set my life at a pin's fee. And for my soul, what can it do to that, being a thing immortal as itself? It waves me forth again. I'll follow it.
What if it tempt you to the flood, my lord? Or to the dreadful summit of the cliff that beetles o'er his base into the sea, and there assumes another horrible form which might deprive your sovereignty of reason and draw you into madness?
Think of it.
The very place puts toys of desperation without more motive into every brain that looks so many fathoms to the sea and hears it roar beneath.
It waves me still. Go on. I'll follow thee.
You shall not go, my lord.
Hold off your hands.
Be ruled, you shall not go.
My fate cries out and makes each petty artery in this body as hardy as the Nemean lion's nerve. Still am I called. Unhand me, gentlemen. By heaven, I'll make a ghost of him that lets me. I say away.
Go on. I'll follow thee.
He waxes desperate with imagination.
Let's follow. It is not fit thus to obey him.
Have after. To what issue will this come?
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark.
Heaven will direct it.
Nay, let's follow him.
Speak. I'll go no further.
Mark me.
I will.
My hour is almost come, when I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Alas, poor ghost.
Pity me not, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold.
Speak. I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear.
What?
I am thy father's spirit, doomed for a certain term to walk the night, and for the day confined to fasting fires, till the foul crimes done in my days of nature are burnt and purged away. But that I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house, I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and combined locks to part, and each particular hair to stand on end like quills upon the fretful porcupine. But this eternal blazon must not be to ears of flesh and blood. List, list, oh list, if thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh God!
Revenge his foul and most unnatural murder.
Murder.
Murder most foul as in the best it is, but this most foul, strange and unnatural.
Hast me to know it, that I, with wings as swift as meditation or the thoughts of love, may sweep to my revenge.
I find thee apt, and duller shouldst thou be than the fat weed that roots itself in ease on Lethe wharf, wouldst thou not stir in this. Now, Hamlet, hear. 'Tis given out that sleeping in mine orchard a serpent stung me. So the whole ear of Denmark is by a forged process of my death rankly abused. But no, thou noble youth, the serpent that did sting thy father's life now wears his crown.
Oh, my prophetic soul, my uncle!
Aye, that incestuous, that adultery beast, with witchcraft of his wit, with traitorous gifts, oh, wicked wit, and gifts that have the power so to seduce, won to his shameful lust the will of my most seeming virtuous queen. Oh, Hamlet, what a falling off was there. From me, whose love was of that dignity, that it went hand in hand even with the vow I made to her in marriage, and to decline upon a wretch whose natural gifts were poor to those of mine. But virtue, as it never will be moved, though lewdness caught it in a shape of heaven, so lust, though to a radiant angel linked, will sate itself in a celestial bed and prey on garbage. But soft, methinks I scent the morning air. Brief, it may be. Sleeping within my orchard, my custom always of the afternoon, upon my secure hour, thy uncle stole with juice of cursed heaven on in a vial, and in the porches of my ears did pour the leprous distillment, whose effect holds such an enmity with blood of man, that swift as quicksilver, it courses through the natural gates and alleys of the body, and with a sudden vigor, it doth posit and curd, like eager droppings into milk, the thin and wholesome blood. So did it mine. And a most instant tetter barked about, most lazar-like, with vile and loathsome crust, all my smooth body. Thus was I sleeping, by a brother's hand, of life, of crown, of queen, at once dispatched, cut off, even in the blossoms of my sin, unhousled, disappointed, unannealed, no reckoning made, but sent to my account with all my imperfections on my head. Oh, horrible! Oh, horrible! Most horrible! If thou hast nature in thee, bear it not. Let not the royal bed of Denmark be a couch for luxury and damned incest. But howsoever thou pursuest this act, taint not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught. Leave her to heaven, and to those thorns that in her bosom lodge to prick and sting her. Fare thee well at once. The glow-worm shows the matin to be near. and begins to pale his ineffectual fire. Adieu. 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 Remember me.
All you host of heaven, of earth. What else? And shall I couple hell? Oh, fie. Hold. Hold my heart, and you my sinews grow not instant. Hold, but bear me stiffly up. Remember thee. Aye, thou poor ghost, whilst memory holds a seat in this distracted globe. Remember thee. Yea, from the table of my memory I'll wipe away all trivial fond records, all sores of books, all forms, all pressures past that youth and observation copied there, and thy commandment all alone shall live within the book and volume of my brain, unmixed with baser matter. Yes, by heaven. Oh, most pernicious woman. Oh, villain. Villain. Smiling. Damned villain. My table's meat it is. I set it down that one may smile and smile and be a villain. At least I'm sure it may be so in Denmark. So, uncle, there you are. Now to my word. It is adieu. Adieu. Remember me. I have sworn to...
My lord! My lord!
Hamlet!
Heaven secure him.
So be it.
Hello, ho, ho, my lord!
Hello, ho, ho, boy! Come, bird! Come!
How is my noble lord?
What news, my lord?
Oh, wonderful!
Good, my lord, tell it.
No, you will reveal it.
Not I, my lord, by heaven.
Not I, my lord.
How say you, then, would heart of man once think it? But you'll be secret.
Aye, by heaven, my lord.
There's never a villain dwelling in all Denmark, but he's an arrant knave.
There needs no ghost, my lord, come from the grave to tell us this.
Quite right. You are in the right. And so, without more circumstance at all, I hold it fit that we shake hands and part. You as your business and desire shall point you, for every man hath business and desire such as it is, and for my own poor part, I will go pray.
These are but wild and whirling words, my lord.
I'm sorry they offend you. Heartily, yes, faith, heartily.
There's no offence, my lord.
Yes, by St. Patrick, but there is, Horatio, and much offence, too, touching this vision here. It is an honest ghost, but let me tell you, for your desire to know what is between us, or master it as you may. And now, good friends, as you are friends, scholars and soldiers, give me one poor request.
What is, my lord, we will.
Never make known what you have seen tonight.
My lord, we will not.
Nay, but swear it.
In faith, my lord, not I.
Not I, my lord, in faith.
On my sword.
We have sworn, my lord, already.
Indeed, upon my sword. Indeed.
Aha, boy. Says thou so?
Art thou there, Truepenny? Come on. You hear this fellow in the cellarage consent to swear.
Propose the oath, my lord.
Never. To speak of this that you have seen, swear by my sword. Et ubique. Then we'll shift our ground. Come hither, gentlemen. Lay your hands again upon my sword. Never to speak of this that you have heard. Swear by my sword. Well said, old mole. Canst work at the earth so fast? A worthy pioneer. Once more remove, good friends.
Oh, day and night, but this is wondrous strange.
And therefore, as a stranger, give it welcome. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. But come, here as before, never... So help you mercy, how strange or odd soe'er I bear myself,
as I perchance hereafter shall think meet to put an antic disposition on, that you at such times seeing me never shall, with arms encumbered thus, or this head shake, or by pronouncing of some doubtful phrase as, well, well, we know, or we could, and if we would, or if we list to speak, or there be, and if they might, or such ambiguous giving out to note that you know aught of me, this not to do. So grace and mercy at your most need help you. So, gentlemen, with all my love, I do commend me to you. And what so poor a man as Hamlet is may do to express his love and friendling to you, God willing, shall not lack. Let us go in together, and still your fingers on your lips, I pray. The time is out of joint. O cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right.
Give my son this money and these notes, Rinaldo.
I will, my Lord Polonius.
You shall do marvellous wisely, good Rinaldo, before you visit him, to make inquire of his behaviour.
My lord, I did intend it.
Very well said. Very well said. Look you, sir, inquire me first what danskers are in Paris, and how and who, what means and where they keep, what company, at what expense. And finding by this encompassment and drift of question that they do know my son, come you more nearer than your particular demands will touch it. By indirections, find directions out. You have you not?
My lord, I have.
I'll be with you. Very well.
Good, my lord.
Observe his inclination in yourself.
I shall, my lord.
And let him ply his music.
Well, my lord.
Farewell.
Alas, my lord.
Oh, no, Ophelia. What's the matter?
My lord, I have been so affrighted.
What in the name of God?
My lord, as I was sewing in my closet, Lord Hamlet, with his doublet all unbraced, no hat upon his head, his stockings fouled, ungartered, and down gyved to his ankle, pale as his shirt, his knees knocking each other, and with a look so piteous in purport, as if he had been loosed out of hell to speak of horrors, he comes before me.
Mad for thy love?
My lord, I do not know, but truly I do fear it.
What said he?
He took me by the wrist and held me hard. Then goes he to the length of all his arm, and with his other hand, thus, o'er his brow, he falls to such perusal of my face as he would draw it. Long stayed he so. At last, a little shaking of mine arm, and thrice his head thus, waving up and down, he raised a sigh so piteous and profound as it did seem to shatter all his bulk and end his being. That done, he lets me go. And with his head over his shoulder turned, he seemed to find his way without his eyes, for out of doors he went without their help, and to the last bended their light on me.
Come, go with me. I'll go seek the king. But this is the very ecstasy of love, whose violent property foredoes itself and leads the will to desperate undertakings. What? Have you given him any hard words of late?
No, my good lord. But as you did command, I did repel his letters and denied his access to me.
That hath made him mad. I'm sorry that with better heed and judgment I had not quitted him. Come, go we to the king.
Welcome, dear Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Moreover, that we much did long to see you, the need we have to use you did provoke our hasty sending. Something have you heard of Hamlet's transformation? So call it, sith nor the exterior nor the inward man resembled that it was. What it should be, more than his father's death, that thus hath put him so much from the understanding of himself, I cannot dream of. I entreat you both to draw him unto pleasures, and to gather so much as from occasion you may glean, whether aught to us unknown afflicts him thus, that opened lies within our remedy.
Good gentlemen,
He hath much talked of you, and sure I am two men there are not living to whom he more adheres. If it will please you to show us so much gentry and goodwill as to expend your time with us a while for the supply and profit of our hope, your visitation shall receive such thanks as fits a king's remembrance.
Both your majesties might, by the sovereign power you have of us, put your dread pleasures more into command than to entreaty.
But we both obey, and here give up ourselves in the full bent to lay our service freely at your feet, to be commanded.
Thanks, Rosencrantz and gentle Guildenstern.
Thanks, Guildenstern and gentle Rosencrantz. And I beseech you, instantly to visit my too much changed son. Go, some of you, and bring these gentlemen where Hamlet is.
My lady.
Heavens make our presence and our practices pleasant and helpful to him.
Aye. Amen.
My dear Gertrude, Lord Polonius tells me he hath found the head and source of all your son's distemper.
I doubt it is no other but the main. His father's death and our o'erhasty marriage.
Well, we shall sift him. My lord Polonius!
My good lord, and I do think, or else this brain of mine hunts not the trail of policy so sure as it hath used to do, that I have found the very cause of Hamlet's lunacy.
Oh, speak of that. That do I long to hear.
My liege and madam, to expostulate what majesty should be, what duty is, why day is day, night night, and time is time, were nothing but to waste night, day, and time. Therefore, for brevity is the soul of wit, and tediousness the limbs and outward flourishes, I will be brief. Your noble son is mad. Mad call I it, for to define true madness, what is't but to be nothing else but mad? But let that go.
More matter with less art.
Madam, I swear I use no art at all. That he is mad, 'tis true. 'Tis true, 'tis pity, and pity 'tis true. A foolish figure. But farewell it, for I will use no art. Mad, let us grant him then. And now remains that we find out the cause of this defect. For this effect defective comes by cause. Thus it remains, and the remainder thus. Perpend. I have a daughter, have while she is mine, who in her duty and obedience mark has given me this. Now, gather and surmise. Thus, in her excellent white bosom, these, etc.
Came this from Hamlet to her?
Good madam, stay a while, I will be faithful. Doubt thou the stars are fire, doubt that the sun doth move, doubt truth to be a liar, but never doubt I love. Oh, dear Ophelia, I'm ill at these numbers, I have not art to reckon my groans, but that I love thee best, oh, most best, believe it. Adieu, thine evermore, most dear lady, whilst this machine is to him, Hamlet. This in obedience hath my daughter shown me, and more above hath his solicitings, as they fell out by time, by means and place, all given to mine ear.
But how hath she received his love?
What do you think of me?
As of a man faithful and honorable?
I would fain prove so. But what might you think when I'd seen this hot love on the wing? As I perceived it, I must tell you that, before my daughter told me. What might you or my dear majesty your queen here think? If I played the desk or table book, or given my heart a winking, mute and dumb, or looked upon this love with idle sight, what might you think? No, I went round to work, and my young mistress thus I did bespeak. Lord Hamlet is a prince out of thy star. This must not be. And then I prescripts gave her that she should lock herself from his resort, admit no messengers, receive no tokens. Which done, she took the fruits of my advice. When he repelled, a short tale to make, fell into a sadness, then into a fast, thence to a watch, thence into a weakness, thence to a lightness, and by this declension into the madness wherein now he raves, and all we mourn for.
Do you think 'tis this?
It may be, very likely.
Had there been such a time, I'd fain know that, that I have positively said 'tis so, when it proved otherwise.
Not that I know.
And take this from this, if this be otherwise. If circumstances lead me, I will find where truth is hid, though it were hid indeed within the centre.
How may we try it further?
You know, sometimes he walks 4 hours together here in the lobby.
So he does, indeed.
At such a time, I'll loose my daughter to him. Be you and I behind an arras, then. Mark the encounter. If he love her not,
and be not from his reason fallen thereon, let me be no assistant for a state, but keep a farm and carters.
We will try it.
But look where sadly the poor wretch comes reading.
Away? I do beseech you both away. I'll board him presently. Oh, give me leave. How does my good Lord Hamlet?
Well, God have mercy.
Do you know me, my lord?
Excellent, well. You are a fishmonger.
Not I, my lord.
Then I would you were so honest a man.
Honest, my lord?
Aye, sir, to be honest as this world goes is to be one man, picked out of 10,000.
That's very true, my lord.
Well, if the sun breed maggots in a dead dog, being a good kissing carrion. Have you a daughter?
I have, my lord.
Let her not walk in the sun. Conception is a blessing, but not as your daughter may conceive. Friend, look to it.
How say you by that? Still harping on my daughter. Yet he knew me not at first. He said I was a fishmonger. He is far gone. And truly in my youth I suffered much extremity for love. Very near this. I'll speak to him again. What do you read, my lord?
Words.
Words, words.
What is the matter, my lord?
Between who?
I mean the matter that you read, my lord.
Slanders, sir. For the satirical rogue says here that old men have grey beards, that their faces are wrinkled, and that they have a plentiful lack of wit, together with most weak hands. All which, sir, though I most powerfully and potently believe, yet I hold it not honesty to have it thus set down. For yourself, sir, shall grow old as I am. If like a crab you could go backward.
Though this be madness, yet there is method in't. Will you walk out of the air, my lord?
Into my grave.
Indeed, that's out of the air. How pregnant sometimes his replies are. A happiness that often madness hits on, which reason and sanity could not so prosperously be delivered of. I will leave him and suddenly contrive the means of meeting between him and my daughter. My lord, I will take my leave of you.
You cannot take from me anything that I will more willingly part with all. Except my life. Except my life. Except my life.
Fare you well, my lord.
These tedious old fools.
You go to seek the Lord Hamlet. There he is.
God save you, sir.
My honoured lord.
My most dear lord.
My excellent good friends. How dost thou, Guildenstern, our Rosencrantz? Good lads, how do you both?
As the indifferent children of the earth.
Happy in that we are not over-happy. On fortune's cap, we are not the very button.
And nor the soles of her shoe.
Neither, my lord.
Then you live about her waist or in the middle of her favours?
Faith, her private we.
In the secret parts of fortune. Oh, most true. She is a strumpet. What's the news?
None, my lord, but the world's grown honest.
Then is doomsday near. But your news is not true. Let me question more in particular. What of you, my good friends? Deserved at the hands of fortune that she sends you to prison hither?
Prison, my lord?
Denmark's a prison.
Oh, then is the world one.
A goodly one, in which there are many confines, wards and dungeons, Denmark being one of the worst.
We think not so, my lord.
Why then, 'tis none to you? For there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. To me, it is a prison.
Why then, your ambition makes it one. 'Tis too narrow for your mind.
God! I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space. Were it not that I have bad dreams.
Which dreams indeed are ambition. For the very substance of the ambitious is merely the shadow of a dream.
A dream itself is but a shadow.
Truly. And I hold ambition of so airy and light a quality that it is but a shadow's shadow.
Then are our beggars' bodies, and our monarchs and outstretched heroes, the beggars' shadows. Show me to the court, for by my fay I cannot reason.
We'll wait upon you.
What make you both at Elsinore?
To visit you, my lord, no other occasion.
Were you not sent for? Is it your own inclining? Is it a free visitation? Come, come, deal justly with me. Come, come. Nay, speak!
What should we say, my lord?
Anything but to the purpose. I know the good king and queen have sent for you.
To what end, my lord?
That you must teach me. But let me conjure you, be even and direct with me, whether you were sent for or no.
My lord, we were sent for?
I will tell you why. So shall my anticipation prevent your discovery, and your secrecy to the king and queen molt no feather. I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercises. And indeed it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, seems to me a sterile promontory. This most excellent canopy, the air, look you, this brave or hanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire. Why, it appears no other thing to me than a foul and pestilent congregation of vapors. What a piece of work is a man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable. In action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. And yet, to me, what is this quintessence of dust? Man delights not me. Ah. No, nor woman neither. Though by your smiling, you seem to say so.
Oh, my lord, there was no such stuff in my thoughts.
Why did you laugh then when I said man delights not me?
To think, my lord, if you delight not in man, what Lenten entertainment the players shall receive from you. We coated them on the way, and hither are they coming to offer you service.
He that plays the king shall be welcome. His majesty shall have tribute of me. The adventurous knight shall use his foil and target. The lover shall not sigh gratis. The humorous man shall end his part in peace. The clown shall make those laugh whose lungs are tickler the seer. And the lady shall say her mind freely, or the blank verse shall halt for it. What players are they?
Even those you were wont to take such delight in. The tragedians of the city.
Do they hold the same estimation they did when I was in the city? Are they so fallen?
No, indeed, are they not.
It is not very strange, for my uncle is king of Denmark, and those that would make mouths at him while my father lived give 20, 40, 50, 100 ducats apiece for his picture in little. S'blood, there's something in this more than natural, if philosophy could find it out.
There are the players.
Gentlemen, you are welcome to Elsinore, but my uncle, father, and aunt, mother are deceived.
In what, my lord?
I am but mad north-northwest. When the wind is southerly, I know a hawk from a handsaw.
Well, be with you, gentlemen.
Hark you, Guildenstern, and you two, Rosencrantz, at each ear a hearer. That great baby you see there is not yet out of his swaddling clutch.
Happily, he is the second time come to them, for they say an old man is twice a child.
Now we'll prophesy. He comes to tell me of the players' market. You say right, sir, a Monday morning. T'was then indeed.
My lord, I have news to tell you.
My lord, I have news to tell you. When Roscius was an actor in Rome...
The actors are come hither, my lord.
Buzz, buzz.
Upon my honour.
Then came each actor upon his ass.
The best actors in the world. Either for tragedy, comedy, history, pastoral, pastoral-comical, historical-pastoral, tragical-historical, tragical-comical-historical-pastoral, scene indivisible, or poem unlimited. Seneca cannot be too heavy, nor Plautus too light. These are the only men.
Oh, Jephthah, judge of Israel, what a treasure hadst thou.
What a treasure had he, my lord?
Why, one fair daughter and no more, the which he loved passing well.
Still on my daughter.
Am I not in the right, old Jephthah?
If you call me Jephthah, my lord, I have a daughter that I love passing well.
Nay, that follows not.
What follows then, my lord?
Why, as by lot God wot, and then, you know, it came to pass as most like it was... Oh, the first row of the pious chanson will show you more, for look where my abridgment comes. You are welcome, masters, welcome all. I'm... glad to see thee well. Welcome, good friends. Oh, old friend. Why, thy face is valiant since I saw thee last. Com'st thou to beard me in Denmark? What, my young lady and mistress? Why, lady, your ladyship is nearer to heaven than when I saw you last by the altitude of a shopping. Pray God your voice, like a piece of uncurrent gold, be not cracked within the ring. Masters, you are all welcome.
We'll into it like French falconers. Fly at anything we see. We'll have a speech straight. Come, give us a taste of your quality. Come, a passionate speech.
What speech, my good lord?
I heard thee speak me a speech once. But it was never acted. Or if it was, not above once. For the play, I remember, Please Not the Million. 'Twas caviar to the general. But it was, as I received it, and others, whose judgment in such matters cried in the top of mine. An excellent play, well digested in the scenes, set down with as much modesty as cunning. One speech in it I chiefly loved. It was Aeneas' tale to Dido, and thereabout of it especially when he speaks of Priam's slaughter. Now, if it live in your memory, begin at this line. Oh, let me see. The rugged Pyrrhus.
He whose sable arms.
Black as his purpose. Did the knight resemble when he lay couched in the ominous horse? Hath now this dread and black complexion smeared with heraldry more dismal head to foot? Now is he total gules, horribly tricked with blood of fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, baked and impasted with the parching streets that lend a tyrannous and a damned light to their lord's murder. Roasted in wrath and fire, and thus sized with coagulate gore, with eyes like carbuncles, the hellish Pyrrhus, old grandsire Priam, seeks. So, proceed you.
For God, my lord, well spoken, with good accent and good discretion.
Anon, he finds him, striking too short at Greeks, his antique sword rebellious to his arm. Lies where it falls, repugnant to command. Unequal matched, Pyrrhus at Priam drives. In rage strikes wide, but with the whiff and wind of his fell sword, the unnerved father falls. Then senseless Ilium, seeming to feel this blow, with flaming top stoops to his base, and with a hideous crash takes prisoner Pyrrhus' ear. Follow! His sword, which was declining on the milky head of reverend Priam, seemed in the air to stick. So, as a painted tyrant, Pyrrhus stood. But as we often see against some storm, a silence in the heavens, the rack stands still, the bold wind speechless, and the all below as hush as death. Anon a dreadful thunder doth rend the region. So, after Pyrrhus' pause, a roused vengeance sets him new awork, and never did the Cyclops' hammers fall on Mars's armor forged for proof return with less remorse than Pyrrhus' bleeding sword now falls on Priam. Out! Out, thou strumpet fortune! All you gods in general synod take away her power. Break all the spokes and fillies from her wheel and bowl the round knave down the hill of heaven as low as to the fiends.
This is too long.
Shall to the barbers with your beard. Prithee, say on. He's for a jig or a tale of bawdry or he sleeps. Say on. Come to Hecuba.
But who? Ah, who had seen the Moblid Queen?
The Moblid Queen.
That's good. Moblid Queen is good.
Run barefoot up and down, threatening the flames with bison room, a clout upon that head where late the diadem stood, and for a robe about her lank and all or teemed loins, a blanket in the alarm of fear caught up. Who this had seen, with tongue in venom steeped against fortune's state, would treason have pronounced. But if the gods themselves did see her then, when she saw Pyrrhus make malicious sport in mincing with his sword her husband's limbs, the instant burst of clamor that she made, unless things mortal move them not at all, would have made milch the burning eyes of heaven and passion in the gods.
Look where he has not turned his colour, and has tears in his eyes. Prithee, no more.
'Tis well. I'll have thee speak out the rest of this soon. Good my lord, will you see the players well bestowed? Do you hear? Let them be well used. For they are the abstract and brief chronicles of the time. After your death, you had better have a bad epitaph than their ill report while you live.
My lord, I will use them according to their desert.
God's barrican man much better. Use every man after his desert, and who shall escape whipping? Use them after your own honour and dignity. The less they deserve, the more merit is in your bounty. Take them in.
Come, sir.
Follow him, friends. We'll hear a play tomorrow. Dost thou hear me, old friend?
My lord.
Can you play The Murder of Gonzago?
Aye, my lord.
We'll have it tomorrow night. You could, for a need, study a speech of some dozen or 16 lines, which I would set down and insert in, could you not?
Aye, my lord.
Very well. Follow that lord, and look you, mock him not. Good Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. I'll leave you till tonight. You are welcome to Elsinore.
Good, my lord.
Aye, so goodbye to you. Now I am alone. Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in a fiction, in a dream of passion, could force his soul so to his own conceit that from her working all his visage wand, tears in his eyes, distraction in suspect, a broken voice and his whole function suiting with forms to his conceit. And all for nothing. For Hecuba. What's Hecuba to him, or he to Hecuba, that he should weep for her? What would he do? And he the motive and the cue for passion that I have? He would drown the stage with tears, and cleave the general ear with horrid speech, make mad the guilty, and appall the free, confound the ignorant, and amaze indeed the very faculties of eyes and ears. Yet I, a dull and muddy-nettled rascal, peak like John o' Dreams, unpregnant of my cause, and can say nothing. No, not for a king, upon whose property and most dear life a damned defeat was made. Am I a coward? Who calls me villain? Breaks my pate across, plucks off my beard and blows it in my face, tweaks me by the nose, gives me the lie of the throat as deep as to the lungs, who does me this, huh? Zounds, I should take it, for it cannot be that I am pigeon-livered and lack gall to make oppression bitter. Or ere this, I should have fatted all the region kites with this slave's awful, bloody, bawdy, villain, remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless villain. Oh, vengeance! Why, what an ass am I? This is most brave, that I, the son of a dear father murdered, prompted to my revenge by heaven and hell, must, like a whore, unpack my heart with words and fall a-cursing like a very drab, a scullion, firepunt. About my brain. I have heard that guilty creatures sitting at a play have by the very cunning of the scene been struck so to the soul that presently they have proclaimed their malefactions. For murder, though it have no tongue, will speak with most miraculous organ. I'll have these players play something like the murder of my father before mine uncle. I'll observe his looks, I'll tent him to the quick, if he but blench. I know my course. The spirit that I have seen may be a devil, and the devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape, yea, and perhaps out of my weakness and my melancholy as he is very potent with such spirits, abuses me. To damn me. I'll have grounds more relative than this. The play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king.
And can you, by no drift of conference, get from him why he puts on this confusion? Grating so harshly all his days of quiet with turbulent and dangerous lunacy.
He does confess he feels himself distracted, but from what cause he will by no means speak.
Nor do we find him forward to be sounded, but with a crafty madness keeps aloof when we would bring him on to some confession of his true state.
Did he receive you well?
Most like a gentleman.
But with much forcing of his disposition.
Niggard of question, but of our demands most free in his reply.
Did you assay him to any pastime?
Madam, it so fell out that certain players we o'er wrought on the way, of these we told him, and there did seem in him a kind of joy to hear of it.
Oh.
They are here about the court, and as I think, they have already ordered this knight to play before him.
'Tis most true, and he beseeched me to entreat your majesties to hear and see the matter.
With all my heart, and it doth much content me to hear him so inclined. Good gentlemen, give him a further edge. And drive his purpose into these delights.
We shall, my lord.
My lord.
Sweet Gertrude, leave us too. For we have closely sent for Hamlet hither, that he, as 'twere by accident, may here affront Ophelia. Her father and myself, lawful espials, we'll so bestow ourselves that seeing unseen, we may of their encounter frankly judge, and gather by him, as he is behaved, if it be the affliction of his love, or no, that thus he suffers for.
I shall obey you. And for your part, Ophelia, I do wish that your good beauties be the happy cause of Hamlet's wildness. So shall I hope your virtues will bring him to his wonted way again, to both your honours.
Madam, I wish it may.
Ophelia, walk you here. Gracious, so please you, we will bestow ourselves. Read on this book. That show of such an exercise may colour your loneliness. We are oft to blame in this. 'Tis too much proved that with devotion's visage and pious action we do sugar o'er the devil himself.
Oh, 'tis too true. How smart a lash that speech doth give my conscience. The harlot's cheek, beauted with plastering art, is not more ugly to the thing that helps it than is my deed to my most painted word. Oh, heavy burden.
I hear him coming. Let's withdraw, my lord.
To be or not to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing, end them. To die. To sleep. No more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die. To sleep. To sleep. A chance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin? Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death? The undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveller returns puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with the pale cast of thought. And enterprises of great pith and moment, with this regard their currents turn awry, and lose the name of action. Soft, Juno. The fair Ophelia. Nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
Good, my lord. How does your honour for this many a day?
I humbly thank you. Well, well, well.
My lord, I have remembrances of yours that I have longed, to re-deliver. I pray you now receive them.
No, not I. I never gave you aught.
My honoured lord, you know right well you did. And with them, words of so sweet breath composed as made these things more rich. Their perfume lost, take these again. For to the noble mind rich gifts wax poor when givers prove unkind. There, my lord.
Are you honest?
My lord.
Are you fair?
What means your lordship?
That if you be honest and fair, your honesty should admit no discourse to your beauty.
Could beauty, my lord, have better converse than with honesty?
I truly. For the power of beauty will sooner transform honesty from what it is to a bawd than the force of honesty can translate beauty into his likeness. This was sometime a paradox, but now the time gives it proof. I did love you once.
Indeed, my lord, you made me believe so.
You should not have believed me. For virtue cannot so inoculate our old stock, but we shall relish of it. I loved you not.
I was the more deceived.
Get thee to a nunnery. Why wouldst thou be a breeder of sinners? I am myself indifferent honest, yet I could accuse me of such things it were better my mother had not borne me. I'm very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more offences at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape, or time to act them in. What should such fellows as I do, crawling between heaven and earth? We are arrant knaves, all, believe none of us. Go thy ways to a nunnery. Where's your father?
At home, my lord.
Let the doors be shut upon him, that he may play the fool nowhere but in his own house. Farewell.
Oh, help him, you sweet heaven.
If thou dost marry, I'll give thee this plague for thy dowry. Be thou as chaste as ice, as pure as snow, thou shalt not escape calumny. Get thee to a nunnery. Farewell. Or if thou wilt needs marry, marry a fool. For wise men know well enough what monsters you make of them. To a nunnery go, and quickly too. Farewell.
Oh, heavenly powers, restore him.
I've heard of your paintings too, well enough. God hath given you one face, and you make yourselves another. You jig, you amble, and you lisp, and nickname God's creatures, and make your wantonness your ignorance. Go to, I'll no more haunt. It hath made me mad. I say, we will have no more marriages. Those that are married already, all but one, shall live. The rest shall keep as they are. To a nunnery go.
Oh, what a noble mind is here or throned. Courtiers, soldiers, scholars, eye, tongue, sword, the expectancy and rose of the fair state, the glass of fashion and the mould of form, the observed of all observers, quite down, and I, of ladies most deject and wretched, that sucked the honey of his music vows, now see that noble and most sovereign reason, like sweet bells jangled out of tune and harsh, that unmatched form and feature of blown youth blasted with ecstasy. Oh, is me to have seen what I have seen. See what I see.
Love. His affections do not that way tend, nor what he spake, though it lacked form a little, was not like madness. There's something in his soul, o'er which his melancholy sits on brood. And I do doubt the hatch and the disclose will be some danger, which, for to prevent, I have in quick determination thus set it down. He shall with speed to England for the demand of our neglected tribute. Haply the seas and countries different, with variable objects, shall expel this something settled matter in his heart, whereon his brains, still beating, puts him thus from fashion of himself. What think you, aunt?
It shall do well, but yet do I believe the origin and commencement of his grief sprung from neglected love. Oh, no, Ophelia, you need not tell us what Lord Hamlet said,
we heard it all. My lord, do as you please. But if you hold it fit, after the play, let his queen mother all alone entreat him to show his grief. Let her be round with him, and I be placed so please you in the ear of all their conference. If she find him not, to England send him, or confine him where your wisdom best shall think.
It shall be so. Madness in great ones must not unwatched go.
Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it as many of our players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. Nor do not saw the air too much with your hand, thus, but use all gently. For in the very torrent, tempest, and as I may say, whirlwind of your passion, you must acquire and beget a temperance that may give it smoothness. Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise. I would have such a fellow whipped for o'erdoing termagant. It out Herod's Herod. Pray you avoid it.
I warrant, your honour.
Be not too tame, neither, but let your own discretion be your tutor. Suit the action to the word, the word to the action, with this special observance, that you o'erstep not the modesty of nature. For anything so o'erdone is from the purpose of playing, whose end, both at the first and now, was and is, to hold, as 'twere, the mirror up to nature, to show virtue her own feature, scorn her own image, and the very age and body of the time his form and pressure. Now, this overdone, or come tardy off, though it make the unskilful laugh, cannot but make the judicious grieve, the censure of which one must, in your allowance, o'erweigh a whole theatre of others. Oh, there be players that I have seen, have so strutted and bellowed, that I have thought some of nature's journeymen had made them, and not made them well. They imitated humanity so abominably.
I hope we have reformed that indifferently with us.
Oh, reform it altogether. And let those that play your clowns speak no more than is set down for them. For there be of them that will themselves laugh to set on some quantity of barren spectators to laugh too. Though in the meantime, some necessary question of the play be then to be considered. That's villainous, and shows a most pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it. Go, make you ready.
My lord.
How now, my lord? Will the king hear this piece of work?
And the queen, too, and that presently.
Well, bid the players make haste.
My lord.
Will you, too, help to hasten them?
Aye, my lord.
Aye, my lord.
My lord.
What ho, Horatio.
Here, sweet lord, at your service.
Horatio. Thou art e'en as just a man as e'er my conversation coped withal.
Oh, my dear lord.
Nay, do not think I flatter. For what advancement may I hope from thee that no revenue hast but thy good spirits to feed and clothe thee? Why should the poor be flattered? No, let the candid tongue lick absurd pomp and crook the pregnant hinges of the knee where thrift may follow fawning. Dost thou hear? Since my dear soul was mistress of her choice and could of men distinguish, her election hath sealed thee for herself. For thou hast been as one in suffering all that suffers nothing. A man that fortune's buffets and rewards has ta'en with equal thanks. And blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commingled that they are not a pipe for fortune's finger to sound what stop she please. Give me that man that is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core. I, in my heart of heart, as I do thee. Now, something too much of this. There is a play tonight before the king. One scene of it comes near the circumstance which I have told thee of my father's death. I prithee, when thou seest that act afoot, even with the very comment of thy soul, observe my uncle. If his occulted guilt do not itself unkennel at one speech, it is a damned ghost that we have seen, and my imaginations are as foul as Vulcan Stithy. Give him heedful note, for I, mine eyes, will rivet to his face, and after we will both our judgments join in censure of his seeming.
Well, my lord, if he steal aught the whilst this play is playing and scape detecting,
I will pay the theft.
They are coming to the play. I must be idle. Get you a place,
my lord.
How fares our cousin Hamlet?
Excellent, i'faith. Of the chameleon's dish, I eat the air, promise crammed. You cannot feed capon so.
I have nothing with this answer, Hamlet. These words are not mine.
No, not mine now. My lord Polonius, you played once in the university, you say?
That did I, my lord, and was accounted a good actor.
What did you enact?
I did enact Julius Caesar. I was killed in the Capitol. Brutus killed me.
It was a brute part of him to kill so capital a calf there.
Keep the players ready.
Aye, my lord, they stay upon your patience.
Come hither, my dear Hamlet. Sit by me.
No, good mother. Here's metal more attractive.
Oh, you mark that? My daughter.
Lady, shall I lie in your lap?
No, my lord.
I mean my head upon your lap.
Aye, my lord.
Do you think I meant country matters?
I think nothing, my lord.
There's a fair thought to lie between maid's legs.
What is, my lord?
Nothing.
You are merry, my lord.
Who, I?
I, my lord.
Oh, God, you're only jigmaker. What should a man do but be merry? For look you how cheerfully my mother looks, and my father died within 2 hours.
Nay, it is twice 2 months, my lord.
So long. Nay, then, let the devil wear black, for I'll have a suit of sables. Oh, heavens, die 2 months ago and not forgotten yet. Then there's hope a great man's memory may outlive his life, half a year. But by a lady he must build churches then, or else shall he suffer not thinking on with the hobby horse, whose epitaph is, for oh, the hobby horse is forgot.
For us, and for our tragedy, here stooping to your clemency, we beg your hearing patiently.
Is this a prologue or the posy of a ring?
It is brief, my lord.
As woman's love.
Full 30 times hath Phoebus' cart gone round Neptune's salt wash and Tellus' orbit ground, and 30 dozen moons with borrowed sheen about the world have times 12 30s been since love our hearts and hymen did our hands unite commutual in most sacred bands.
So many journeys may the sun and moon make us again count o'er ere love be done. But woe is me, you are so sick of late, so far from cheer and from your former state, that I distrust you. Yet though I distrust and discomfort you, my lord, it nothing must. For women's fear and love hold quantity, in neither aught or in extremity. Now what my love is, proof hath made you know. And as my love is sized, my fear is so. Where love is great, the littlest doubts are fear. Where little fears grow great, great love grows there.
Faith, I must leave thee, love, and shortly too. My operant powers their functions leave to do, and thou shalt live in this fair world behind, honored, beloved, and haply one as kind for husband shalt thou.
Oh, confound the rest! Such love must needs be treason in my breast. In second husband let me be accursed. None wed the second, but who killed the first.
Wormwood.
The instances that second marriage move are base respects of thrift, but none of love. A second time I kill my husband dead, when second husband kisses me in bed.
I do believe you think what now you speak, but what we do determine oft we break. Yes. Purpose is but the slave to memory, of violent birth but poor validity. What to ourselves in passion we propose, the passion ending doth the purpose lose. And our devices still are overthrown, our thoughts are ours, their ends none of our own. So think thou wilt no second husband wed, but die thy thoughts, when thy first lord is dead.
Nor earth to me give food, nor heaven light. Sport and repose lock from me day and night. To desperation turn my trust and hope, and anchor's cheer in prison be my scope. Each opposite that blanks the face of joy, meet what I would have well, and it destroy. Both here and hence pursue me lasting strife. If once a widow, ever I be wife.
If she should break it now.
'Tis deeply sworn. Sweet, leave me here a while. My spirits grow dull, and fain I would beguile the tedious day with sleep.
Sleep, rock thy brain, and never come mischance between us twain.
Madam, how like you this play?
The lady doth protest too much, methinks.
Oh, but she'll keep her word.
Have you heard the argument? Is there no offence in it?
No, no, they do but jest. Poison in jest. No offence in the world.
What do you call the play?
The Mousetrap. Marry how? Tropically. This play is the image of a murder done in Vienna. Gonzago is the Duke's name, his wife Batista. You shall see anon. It is a knavish piece of work. But what of that? Your Majesty and we that have free souls, it touches us not. Let the Gauls, jade, Windsor, with us are unrung. This is one Lucianus, nephew to the king.
You are as good as a chorus, my lord.
I could interpret between you and your love if I could see the puppets dallying.
You are keen, my lord, you are keen.
It would cost you a groaning to take off mine edge.
Still better and worse.
So you mistake your husband's.
Begin, murderer, Poxley, thy damnable faces, and begin. Come, the croaking raven doth bellow for revenge.